You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is it's a pleasure, and it's also an honor. It is a privilege to be in studio as we answer your questions as they come in from all around the world. The number to dial, 888-ASK Hank, although today I will likely not take questions. Do remember, however, the resources that I talk about on air you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as many of you no doubt know, this is the end of our fiscal year. And I have been doing this ministry for some 30 years now and have always found the Lord to be faithful in meeting the needs of ministry. And this, as we near the end of our fiscal year, is a time in which those needs are great. And so I'm going to ask you to give generously as you go to equip.org. One of the resources that we have available for those who support the ministry, a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. And for those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. It's been 30 years now. 30 years since I began working on the very book I just noted, the book titled Christianity in Crisis, and it would become a runaway bestseller, the winner of the prestigious Gold Medal Book Award for Excellence in Evangelical Christian Literature. This book unmasks the fatal flaws of a movement that threatens to undermine the very foundation of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Back in the early days, Kenneth Hagin was the prime mover behind the message of, the prosperity gospel. And while his platform was enormous, while his influences were global, a new breed of prosperity preachers have taken his preaching, taken his practices to unimaginable heights, or perhaps better said, depths. Indeed, those who followed in his train, men such as Joel Osteen, women like Joyce Meyer, are living proof that error begets error, that heresy begets heresy. As such, they have taken the crisis in Christianity, that crisis spawned by Hagin, popularized by Hagin's disciples like Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn, they've taken that heresy to levels that I could have scarcely imagined when I was originally writing in the 20th century. And one of the men that has done this in the modern epoch of time, in the 21st century, is Jesse Duplantis. God recently spoke to Jesse Duplantis, if you believe Jesse Duplantis, and said this.
He said, I want you to believe me for a Falcon 7X.
Why? Well, so that he can take his word of faith message to new heights. At present, he still needs, he says, $54 million in donations in order to purchase the aircraft. Duplantis, who dubs himself the Ragin' Cajun, believes that he will receive what he has asked for because he is harnessing the force of faith. It's all part and parcel of word of faith theology. And if you listen carefully to Duplantis, you will hear a constant refrain. The way in which his devotees can demonstrate that they have faith is by, well, giving to his airplane project, or, for that matter, whatever else he wants at any particular point in time. The kind of giving that ultimately opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing that you cannot receive is, well, it is the kind that they call the give to get kind. With those who have the temerity to respond, "I don't give to get. Brother Jesse, I give because I love the Lord." Jesse Duplantis minces no words.
People say, "I don't give to get, but Jesse, I give because I just love the Lord." Are you living in a dream? That's the spirit of stupid on you. You understand what I mean? God never told you to give in love. Where do you get that point that he told you to give in love? That's not scripture. He told you to live in love and give in faith. Why? Because faith brings back a response. You don't live. He said live in. You don't give in love. You live in love. You give in faith. Because faith, the evidence is not seen, which means a harvest is coming back to you. Do you understand? Money. In other words, people say, "Well, I don't want too much." I had a lady said, "I don't want God to bless me too much." I said, "Excuse me, ma'am. Have you ever had too much? Have you ever went to Walmart and said, 'I'll take it all'?" No. So you don't know what too much is. You have no idea. "Well, I don't want to get greedy." You don't know what that is. You've never been there. You understand what I'm saying? So he didn't tell us to give in love. That sounds holy. That sounds churchy. But that is not, that don't mean nothing. He said you live in love. You give in faith. Because God expects a return on everything you do, and he does.
This, however, is, well, good rhetoric, but it's far from true. Scripture makes plain we give so that we may learn to revere the Lord our God always. Moreover, we give so that we might meet the physical needs of the less fortunate. We give so that we might extend His kingdom, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And let me say parenthetically, that when I ask people to support this ministry, we do offer resources, but it's not because I want you to give to get. It is because I want you to give, and then I want to equip you so that you become a reproducing disciple maker, a person always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. And this, of course, as I have mentioned before, is the end of our fiscal year, and I want you to give liberally, but not to get. Give because you want to extend His kingdom. If you give to get, you are better off. Giving to Jesse Duplantis or hanging on to your resources. The world fuels an unholy trinity. It fuels the cravings of sinful humanity, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and what he does. But genuine biblical faith focuses on the permanent pleasures of paradise, not the pseudo-pleasures of the present. It binds the unclean eye. That unclean eye that lusts after prosperity and wealth. Yet it ultimately deadens the pride of life that covets the things of the world. Now, actually, addressing a pastor, a televangelist by the name of John Hagee at Cornerstone Camp Meeting, Duplantis goes so far as to explain that God is his comforter. And he says it in this way. He says, because when you got some stuff, it brings you comfort. His reasoning is remarkable, to put it mildly. After clarifying that he's not just a millionaire, but a multimillionaire, he says to Hagee, the Lord, I give him glory, is my comforter. And if he is my comforter, Dr. Hagee, I live in comfort. That's not only spiritually, that's physically too, because when you got some stuff, it brings you comfort. And then he goes on to pontificate that those who would say otherwise know nothing about the Bible. With bravado, he claims to quote Jesus saying, the destruction of the poor is their poverty, and challenges those who know nothing about the Bible to explain that. We'll talk about biblical revisionism. To say that Jesus is our comforter and that he gives us a comfortable lifestyle might well be said to be the height of cultural conformity. In fact, Jesus warned, watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The Lord then told his disciples the parable of the rich fool who was looking to his possessions for comfort. Jesus did not condemn possessions. What he did instead is point out the foolishness of a temporary rather than an eternal perspective. Not mincing words, Jesus quoted his father as saying to the rich man, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. The master's command, well, it was always the same. Seek first the kingdom of God, seek his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How unlike the message of Duplantis. The prosperity peddlers relentlessly hawk the idea that prosperity is the divine right of every believer. They hawk a brand of Christianity that is little more than baptized greed garbed in a thin veneer of Christianese. It is a pitiable confirmation to the cultural trends of our time. I remember a quote by Quentin Schultz. He's the author of a book called Televangelism in the American Culture, and he said it well when he said that televangelists, they offer their own personalized expressions of a gospel as adapted from and directed to American culture. To put it more strongly, the faith of some televangelists is more American than Christian, more popular than historic, more personal than collective, and more experiential than biblical. And as a result, the faith they preach is highly affluent. It's selfish. It's individualistic. And those three aspects of televangelism's faith system, they reflect the American dream whereby a self-motivated individual supposedly attains great influence and affluence. They also reflect the impact of modernity on the church. Modernity on the church reflected in a way that does not comport well with biblical theology. Just as Jesus is not our comforter in that he gives us a comfortable lifestyle, Jesus did not, as Jesse declares, say that the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Nor did he suggest that financial comfort was the destiny of those who placed their trust in him. Instead, Jesus said, woe, woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. As such, his message is the inverse of that of Duplantis, who pontificates that poverty is a curse, or of John Hagee, who likewise communicates that poverty is a curse and that your poverty is the result of sin. Of course, we should note that while Jesus did not say that the destruction of the poor is their poverty, Solomon did. Indeed, in the book of Proverbs, he demonstrates that just as the prosperous are mistaken in considering wealth to be a fortified city, so the poor would be misguided in romanticizing poverty or using it as a pretext for laziness. In sum, the very perception that Christians who are prosperous by the world's standards are spiritually rich, while the poor are spiritual paupers, is as blasphemous as it is bankrupt. Well, I'm coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm on a roll, and I want to continue cashing out the difference between true spirituality and the bankruptcy of the health and wealth gospel. Again, thank you to all of you that make this broadcast possible by standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back.
We'll return to our special presentation in just a moment. In the meantime, if you'd like to receive a copy of Christianity in Crisis, just call our Resource Center at 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at equip.org. Our website is also a great place to find listings for many free articles, information on the Christian Research Journal, and much, much more.
Does every day feel like a political battle? Do you feel like traditional values keep losing ground? Every day we wake up in a world that is increasingly hostile to Christianity. Like many believers, you may be wondering what the future holds for Christians in America. The great need of the day is a sweeping revolution of courage in our lives, families, and churches. The war is not yet lost. A Call for Courage by Michael Anthony will spark that revolution in you, offering believers a playbook with specific steps to equip Christians for the battle ahead, helping you to live with power, truth, and love in an age of intolerance and fear. To receive your copy of A Call for Courage, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
It's the 21st century and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
because an increasingly militant, intolerant, and hostile secularism would love to silence the voice of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we ask you to do all you can this month to help us turn up the volume. We are deeply grateful for your partnership at this critical time as we strive to stand courageously for life and truth. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end our financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're talking about the prosperity message. In fact, I was mentioning at the beginning of the broadcast that 30 years ago, I began working on a book that would become a runaway bestseller. It's called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. It is available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We are at the end of our fiscal year. It ends June 30th. And so we're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, but never asking people to give to get, but rather to give because they love the Lord and they want to be co-laborers in extending His kingdom, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Before we went to break, I was mentioning that the very perception that Christians who are prosperous by the world's standards are spiritually rich, while the poor are spiritual paupers, is as blasphemous as it is bankrupt. And it's more than just ironic that marketers of such drivel are propped up by the dollars sent in by the very poor that they are in the process of exploiting. And when riches fail to materialize, the exploited often, well, they dejectedly leave what they thought was Christianity, and they seek safe haven in some other venue within the kingdom of the cults. They, along with their gurus, would do well to heed the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. If possible, Jesse Duplantis and company, they take their blasphemy to whole new levels when they speak not only of prosperity, but when they begin to speak of sickness and suffering. Listen to this.
People ask me all the time, Brother Jesse, I've been watching you for years. I've never seen you sick. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I use the evidence that God has given me against the devil when he tries to put sickness on me. Let me just give you a revelation. When the devil tries to put sickness on me, you know what I say? Jesus, take your shirt off. He go, what? I said, take your shirt off, Jesus. And Jesus takes his shirt off, and I tell the devil, you see them stripes? By his stripes, I am healed. You understand? I got evidence that I am healed. Hallelujah. It ain't got nothing to do with feeling it. It ain't got nothing to do with me feeling it. It's got everything to do with Jesus' back. So all you got to do is stand up and say, I got evidence that I'm healed before I ever got sick.
Well, you know, it is chilling to hear those words, Jesus, take your shirt off, and then Jesus complies. I sometimes wonder whether these people have any concept whatsoever of who Jesus Christ is, who the Lord of glory is, who the one is who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, who the one is who knit us together in our mother's womb, who the one is who has existed from eternity past, who has no beginning, who has no end. How can we, as infinitesimally small specks of dust, speak to the Creator of the cosmos in such irreverent terms? I fear it is because we do not know who we are speaking to. And when he says, Jesus, take off your shirt, show me your stripes, most certainly, within that very bravado is a misnomer. Because the text that Jesse Duplantis is appealing to has nothing to do with the case he's attempting to make. Even a cursory look at the context of Isaiah 53 demonstrates beyond the peradventure of a doubt that Isaiah had in this passage spiritual healing in view. How could Isaiah, speaking for God, have made it more obvious? Messiah was pierced for our transgressions. Messiah was crushed for our iniquities. Note carefully the words transgressions and iniquities. And even if we were to miss the meaning in Isaiah, the commentaries of the apostles clear up all confusion, and we should always leave the magnifying glass for interpretation of the Old Testament in the hands of the New Testament apostles, not in the hands of people who pervert truth. I think about Peter, his first epistle, where he makes plain that the healing that is referred to in Isaiah 53 is spiritual and not physical. And while it can certainly be argued that Christ's atonement upon the cross extends to redeeming the physical realm, we will continue to suffer the effects of the fall, the effects such as sickness and disease, and that until God establishes a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Paul made this ever so clear when he was writing to the Roman believers, saying that the creation itself is going to be liberated from its bondage to decay. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We hope for what we do not yet have. And we wait for it patiently. Now here's the truth. You won't hear this in faith circles, but you will read this in the Bible, which is replete with a long list of godly men and women who suffered sickness and disease. My mind immediately goes to Job. He's affirmed by the Bible as a great, great man of faith, an icon of faith. And yet he was covered with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. The great apostle Paul, he confessed to the Galatians that because of a bodily illness, he preached the gospel to them for the first time. And my mind now goes to what he said in Philippians, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He had a radical revolution in his life, a revolution that ought to be instructive, motivating to us. He was a man of greatness and prestige, a disciple of Gamaliel. He had prestige and position, and he had prosperity. But he was willing to give it all up because he saw something far greater. He was a latecomer to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ utterly transformed him. From a man who was focused on this world to a man who focused on the world that is to come, a world that even now he is experiencing in eternity. For he's absent the body, present with the Lord, and when the Lord returns, he will receive the ultimate reward, a restored body, living in a restored universe with a resurrected Savior. And I think about Timothy. Of course, Timothy was called Paul's son in the faith, and yet he suffered from frequent stomach problems. Instead of telling him to positively confess his healing, Paul gave him some practical advice. He said, stop drinking only water and use a little wine. Or think about Elisha. He was blessed, you read in Scripture, with a double portion anointing. And yet he suffered and he died a sick man. Many other biblical examples could be cited. Paul left Trophimus sick in Miletus and Aphroditus. Aphroditus, he fell sick and nearly died, and King Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And I would say that faith teachers in their more candid moments, they have to confess that they themselves have experienced the ravages of sickness and disease, and despite their protests, they will in the end be stung by the ultimate sickness. They will be stung by death. The death rate is one per person, and even they are going to make it. We must not fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie, for trite phrases that compel us to buy into a gospel other than the real gospel, a false gospel, not the genuine gospel. And we must always be ready to speak with discernment about these issues, not be quiet, because we see so many flooding into the front doors of the prosperity dens, but we see so few of them falling out the back doors, but they are myriad. They don't know what to believe and who to trust. I'll be back with more of this. I have some other things I want to say. They're on my mind. We'll also come back with a quote of the day. So please, don't touch that dial.
We'll return to our special presentation in just a moment. In the meantime, if you'd like to receive a copy of Christianity in Crisis, just call our Resource Center at 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. Or you can go right to our website at equip.org. Our website is also a great place to find many free articles, resources, and information on the Christian Research Journal. That's equip.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Music.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. It's the 21st century and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
In the centuries since Jesus walked among our ancestors, people have sought to make sense of our Savior. The earliest Christian and secular sources show a complex, multi-layered figure who impacted lives and changed the trajectory of history. In his book, A Doubter's Guide to Jesus, John Dixon dives into the Bible and beyond to examine the earliest historical writings and to present 12 distinct portraits of Jesus, including portraits of Jesus as teacher, healer, Israel, Christ, temple, Savior, and much more. Whether you have known and loved the Lord Jesus for decades or are considering his relevance for the first time, you'll find this book an intriguing and quite likely belief-altering experience. To receive your copy of A Doubter's Guide to Jesus, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Every CRI outreach, our broadcast, podcast, website resources, the Christian Research Journal, and more, is made possible only because of friends like you. Your partnership matters. What kind of impact has your partnership had? An impact for time and for eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember the resources that I talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. I'm talking about a book that I wrote 30 years ago, and then I did a version for the 21st century called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. That book available for those who support the ministry. And when you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Check it out again on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The quote of the day, I think most appropriately, comes from the Apostle Paul, who said, "Even from among your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you, night and day, with tears, which is precisely what I'm doing today. I couldn't help but talk about this subject today when I heard Jesse Duplantis saying that God spoke to him and said, I want you to believe in me for a Falcon 7X. Why? So he can take the prosperity message to new heights. And of course, he says he still needs $54 million in donations. And it encourages people to give to get, not to give because they love the kingdom, but give to get. And as you heard in the first segment of the broadcast today, he's quite explicit in actually tampering with the biblical text to communicate that message. So I spent a little bit of time in the first and second segment of this broadcast today talking about the prosperity peddler's perspective on wealth. And then in the second segment, I focused primarily on their perspective when it comes to health. Once again, they twist the biblical text. And this is one of the things we need to be aware of. They take the text and they twist it. How do they do it? Well, they say things like this. The Bible says we are to call those things that are not as though they were. And then when you actually go to the biblical text, which we ought to do, test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good, we find out that the text says nothing of the sort. By the way, it's Romans 4:17. It says, it is God, not we. It is God who calls those things that are not as though they were. The problem with Jesse Duplantis and the faith folk is that they have deified themselves to the extent that God now has to obey the little gods that they claim to be. In another of his many two-way conversations with God Almighty, God explicates the conundrum he is experiencing. Jesse's mother wanted to go to heaven. Jesse wanted her to stay, and as such, God spoke to Jesse, saying,
then the Lord spoke to me, said, you got me over a barrel here. Your mama's telling me to take her. You telling me to stay here. I even told God, you break this covenant with me, you've got to cease to be God, because your word cannot will not return void. He said, listen here, you and your mama got to get together here. He said, I got to obey somebody around here.
I got to obey someone around here. And this is precisely what the faith teachers are communicating. That God is a puppet at the command of his creation. In fact, if you look at the faith message, God actually lost at one point his creation and had to gain it back in a subtle way. This is another gospel. It is a gospel that does not correspond to Scripture, and people buy into it uncritically. Why? Because they don't know the Word of God, and therefore, the prosperity peddlers are making merchandise out of God's people. And while one might be tempted to think that these alleged conversations that Jesse Duplantis and the faith peddlers are having with God are little more than humorous attempts at hyperbole, reality is that they're common fare in faith circles. Perhaps Duplantis could learn a lesson from the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar after 7 years of hanging out with the heifers. Remember the epic story where Nebuchadnezzar raises his eyes towards heaven and he acknowledges that far from needing the permission of people, God does as he pleases with the powers of heaven, with the peoples of the earth. Duplantis, like prosperity preachers in general, seems to have the concept that he is God and has little concept of who God really is. With sanity restored, the mighty monarch of Babylon put it into perspective. Those who walk in pride God is able to humble. I am tempted here to quote from Scripture, to quote from the words of Jeremiah, who says, Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says you will have peace, and to all who follow the stubbornness of their own hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In the days to come, you'll understand it clearly, says Jeremiah. He was talking to his audience, his words, however, appropriate for the audience to whom I'm speaking. How long, says Jeremiah, will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesied the delusions of their own minds? Or I think about Peter in the New Testament saying that there were also false prophets among the people in his day, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, says Peter. Destructive heresies that even deny the sovereign Lord who bought them. And many, predicts Peter, will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute in their greed. These teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. You think about the stories that you have just heard from the lips of Jesse Duplantis, stories about alleged conversations where God speaks to him. I can guarantee you these are stories. God is not speaking to him. Because if God were speaking to him using those words, God would be contradicting himself, for he has spoken in his word. And we can know that what he has said is true because the things that he has spoken have come to pass, knowing, therefore, that we can trust the Bible as a reliable authority, knowing that the Bible is true because what has been spoken came to pass precisely as it was spoken. Or I think of Acts chapter 20. Even from among your own number, men will arise, distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. The quote of the day is poignant and profound. We're told to be on our guard. Remember that for 3 years, the Apostle Paul cared enough to never stop warning each one of his devotees day and night, and he did that with tears. Why? Because he cared about God's people. The message that I've given is not an easy message to give, but it is an important message to give. And I felt compelled today on the Bible Answer Man broadcast to share this message and to let you know that I have elaborated on this message, on the flaws inherent in the Word of Faith movement, in the prosperity message, in the health and wealth message, as it is called, in a book titled Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. It is available for those who support the ministry, but don't give to get. Give because you want to be equipped. You want to know the distortions and how to deal with them. I have taken the text that they prostitute in the health and wealth gospel and given you a way to know the falsity of their interpretations and how you can rightly communicate the truth to those who ask you, to those who are suffering in your context and who wonder inappropriately whether their suffering is a result of the words that they have spoken, because this is precisely what the faith teachers say. Faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, one creates their own reality. When in truth, faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God, and faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. If your faith is placed in your own faith, it is ill-placed faith. But if your faith is placed in God, that is a certain faith, a faith that will never fail. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can also contact us on the web. Remember equip.org. And our address, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We not only do a broadcast, but a podcast. Check that out on the web as well at equip.org. And we have an Equip app that you can download. It's free at equip.org/app. You can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast there, download articles, and much, much more. Check that out as well. And thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
In recent years, atheists have forwarded virulent criticisms against Christianity, claiming that they have a more enlightened, scientific, and sophisticated worldview. Despite what these atheists might think, their verbal assaults are nothing new. In his book, Atheism on Trial, Dr. Lewis Marcos confronts these recycled claims and shows that they have already been disproven by Christian thinkers of the past. And you can use the same logic to silence these claims today. Are you ready to put atheism on trial? Get equipped with answers to the tough questions about your faith and speak with confidence, knowing that the trial of public opinion versus universal truth has already been held and Christ is the victor. To receive your copy of Atheism on Trial, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes.
But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.